step in the game, I'm more than Welch.
Oh, baby, fucking loved it. Love it, looks good. Chasky looks good. Spadoni, Spadoni, he always looks good. And the overnight dances always look fabulous as well, as well as all the graveyard shift workers. Doobie Awards coming to a overnight, or excuse me, Gentlemen's Club near you.
Are you serious?
Yes, I'm dead serious. All the garbage men, all the janitors, all the carpenters, all the teachers, all the firefighters, all the cops, all the drivers trying to get to work safely. Good morning to everybody out there. What a beautiful day yesterday. We're going to have a glorious day today, a Thursday. We're going to take it back Thursday. Got a lot going on here as we ramp up for the 49ers and the Arizona Cardinals yesterday. Got up to 100 degrees in Santa Clara. I'm hearing kickoff Sunday could be around 92 to 93 degrees at Levi Stadium. Are you going to that one? You going to sit in that sun?
No, I gave him to Michelle's a couple weeks back. I gave him to Michelle's uncle, Uncle Ted. He's been, you know, he's been helping us out with the baby and stuff, and so I felt like I'd reciprocate a little.
Yeah, no doubt. I may just put mine on Ticketmaster or something. I don't know if I'm going to go to that one. So
you're shouting everybody out, and I want to do this now because I'm going to forget as we get into the shenanigans of the morning roast.
Okay.
Drea, I hope I'm pronouncing your name
Drea
properly.
Drea Jackson?
Yeah.
Pittsburgh High.
Okay. She says, I'm a teacher at Pittsburgh High, and I listen every morning on the roast on my way to work every single morning. You and Bonte need to come out to one of our home games. It's the best Friday Night Lights vibe in the Bay Area. Go Pirates and go Niners.
Yep. Nah, she DM'd me the same message yesterday, Drea, and I said, we will be there. It's a hype. The Pittsburgh High, Drea.
At some point.
Don't we say will this get Friday. There. We will get there. Especially if you match up with De La Salle. I will definitely be there because I want to check out the Pitt Pirates. They play good football. They play St. John Bosco really tough down there in Southern California. Lost 35-14, but that was a 14-14 game late second quarter. They handled their business. They held their own against St. John Bosco. So shout out to Drea. Shout out to all the teachers. Schools ramping up. We got everything going on here, man. Look, baseball playoffs. I'm going to start here, Shasky, before we get into the 49ers and all the Golden State Warriors stuff. Trayvon said a lot yesterday. I thought it was very, very enlightening to hear what he had to say about Kuminga and Brandon Pajimski, and talking about the young guy, Steve Kerr, as well. But I want to start with the baseball playoffs.
What part?
The youngsters.
Huh.
The young studs that are shining so far. Jackson Chirino, 2 home runs yesterday. I mean, are you kidding me? Jackson Merrill, your guy. Ballin's probably going to win Rookie of the Year.
Should win Rookie of the Year.
But there's Paul Skeens, Jackson Chirino. There's a lot going on here.
Paul Skeens has had a monster year. It was historic. This guy played center field all year for a playoff team and batted at the top of the order, was an all-star. I don't know. I lean everyday player for a Rookie of the Year over a pitcher. But I keep going.
Jackson Chirino's right there, too. He's an absolute superstar. Absolute superstar. You see Bobby Witt Jr. beat out a grounder yesterday, go up 2-1 over the Orioles. They sweep the Orioles. Now you get a classic, like, this is a throwback series. Kansas City Royals, New York Yankees. Reggie Jackson, Thurman Munson against those tough Royals teams back in the late 70s, early 80s. That's a throwback series.
Yeah, you better not put too much pine tar on your bat.
No, don't do that. You get Padres, Dodgers.
Oh.
And the Dodgers might be, this is not a team you want to play.
So we're all Padre fans, right?
Well, I'm just a fan of the game at this point. I just want to see good baseball.
My favorite team is the San Francisco Giants. My second favorite team is whoever the hell is going up against the Dodgers.
Yeah, Dodgers will lose at some point.
Let's go, Padres.
I'm not going to lie. I kind of want to see Aaron Judge win one. I kind of want to see that. I think he deserves one. He's a champion at heart. But also, how about the Detroit Tigers? Maybe ending the Houston Astros' reign in the American League. What a performance for those young bucks.
You know, I did a deep dive on like exactly what happened because our guy Scott Harris went over there and everybody's like, well, he didn't really do a whole lot. A lot of the infrastructure was already in place. But you know what he did do? Traded away a bunch of guys that were old and then just said, I'm rolling with the young guys. Mm-hmm. Mark Canna. And then Javi Baez got hurt. And, and that's a big deal. Like, they took off once Javi Baez got hurt. And then their pitching has been outstanding. They basically, for the most part of the final 3 months of the season, played two 27 or older guys, and the rest were under 25.
And look at them. I mean, and look at them.
Proof is in the pudding. I mean, they got a very Giants-y feel to them.
No, they the late inning rally there in Houston, that just really shocked that crowd as the Astros brought in Ryan Pressly, their closer.
I think he's done.
He might be done. The Astros may be done as we know them. But Jackson Chirino becoming the second youngest player to homer twice in a postseason game behind 19-year-old Andrew Jones back in 1996 when he did it against the Yankees.
Who was in the crowd yesterday sipping a beer. I don't know if you saw that.
Yeah, no, I love Andrew Jones.
He was there, like front row, sipping on a little something.
I love Andrew Jones, man.
So this is interesting, because like the Astros and the Braves were, and I would put Baltimore in this category as well. They weren't right all. I mean, I know Astros went on a run toward the second half. Baltimore was terrible in the second half by their metrics, okay? And then, like, I look at the Atlanta Braves. They were on duct tape.
I mean, they were hanging off for dear life.
Albies isn't even hitting from the left side. And, you know, you can't pitch your big lefty, who was like almost a 20-game winner.
I mean, Max Fried and Strider, they dealt with injuries. And you know what? To the Braves' credit, I'm going to give them a pass. Because for them to even make the postseason, despite all those injuries.
I agree.
A down year from Matt Olson.
Totally.
After he had over 50 jacks a season ago. Sean Murphy was in and out the lineup. They will be back once they get healthy. They still have a really good infrastructure. Chris Sale couldn't even pitch in the playoffs. He got hurt again. So they were done. But now you get Padres, Dodgers.
Oh, let's go.
Guardians, Tigers. And the Guardians, Stephen Vogt, the guy I wanted to manage the Giants. I'm very intrigued to see what the Guardians do, because they could give a lot of these teams a run for their money. They got bullpen. They got the best closer in the game. They got Jose Ramirez. There's nothing like baseball playoffs. Yeah, I mean, it was in San Diego yesterday, hanging off for dear life.
Well, one thing that you brought up to start the show is the young players being able to play every day and play through the mistakes is really what's showcasing itself right now. And I'm thinking about, like, Bryce Eldridge for next year. And I've already, I know exactly what I want the Giants to do, Bonte. I don't want him to start in AAA. Just play
just
him.
Play him from
he's
going to
play. I'm gonna have a DH and a first base spot next year, right? That's,
yeah.
He's going to be in one of those spots all year. I would do, I would not bring in a Pete Alonso. I'd go get Paul Goldschmidt, and I'd say, Paul, you're an older player. I want you to teach this young man how to play the game. The days that you're DHing, he's at first. The days you're at first base, he's DHing, and I want you two to work together. That's what I would do.
Now, you may have some money. The Giants, that is. I'm not opposed to Pete Alonso. Because, look, I understand the veteran. You want a veteran to teach him how to game.
Yeah, I want
you
an
to
older guy.
But I don't want an older guy who's declining. Paul Goldschmidt just turned 37 years old.
Oh, that's why I'm getting him, because I know that at some point you have to turn the page. And I think when you get in Alonso, it's a 7 or 8 year deal, which I don't want, and B, like, I want someone who's ready to transition and teach this man how to be everyday professional.
I feel you on that. I feel you on that. But I look at the production as well. I don't want automatic outs. I don't want an older team. I want some thump. Now, you have a lot of momentum right now with Giants fans hiring Buster Posey as the president of baseball operations. You want to know how you keep Giants fans engaged and keep them locked in and keep them energized? You go get a Pete Alonso. You get a Pete Alonso, because that also puts butts in the seats. Giants fans know I'm going to get 40 home runs for this guy. So I can interchange these dudes at first base. One DH is what plays first. One DH is what plays first. I have no problem with that. Give him a 5-year deal if you can. But that's why I want Pete Alonso, because all of a sudden you get instant credibility and you get instant thump in the middle of the lineup. Now, he may not leave New York City. It depends how the season ends today. Does their season end today against Milwaukee? We'll see about that.
I don't know.
But I hear you on the Paul Goldschmidt. It makes a lot of sense. But that's why I have Matt Chapman.
No, that's true.
That's why I have Matt Chapman.
But would you agree right-handed power is still something that they could use more of?
Right-handed power, that's why Pete Alonso.
No, I know that. But the only reason why I push back on Pete Alonso is I just know that the entry point is like 8 years. And it's like,
probably.
I'm just so out on an 8-year deal for someone like him. I mean, he's a low 200s hitter. I understand what he does to a lineup, and he is an unbelievable thumper bat. Like, there's no doubt. I just don't want to put any blockage in the way of Eldridge long term.
And I don't think he does. I don't think he would. I think you could make this work with him, but look, This guy, last 4 years, 37 home runs, 40 home runs, 46 home runs, 34 home runs this year. Actually, a down year, but he batted 240, 217 the season prior, 271, 262 lifetime, 250 hitter. It's going to cost a lot of money.
That's
I think we're on the same page in terms of, you know, and I wonder what happened with Goldschmidt in St. Louis, because I thought it was going to be a great, great fit.
He's old.
He got long.
And I think also the St. Louis Cardinals got away from their development program. Some of their younger players, the shortstop, I like the shortstop, the young shortstop, and then Jordan Walker, they just didn't hit the way they thought they were going to hit, and they kind of got yo-yoed back and forth, and there's a lot going on with them.
But to the point about playing Eldridge every single day, the Brewers stuck with Jackson Chirino. The first 2 months of the season, it was not good, right? He was struggling. He was scuffling at the plate. Then he became one of the best hitters in baseball by just playing him. Same thing happened with Gunnar Henderson, not this past season, but the season prior. Mm-hmm. He was struggling. They stuck with him, and boom, next thing you know, he's taking off, and he's flying, and he's hitting home runs all over the place, and he's stealing bags all over the place. I look at Riley Green and Spencer Torkelson with the Detroit Tigers, Torkelson from Petaluma. Look, he's not scalding the baseball, but they're sticking with the guy. They're sticking with him, playing him. Now, he went back down to the minors this year. They brought him back up, and he's playing well. Stick with the youngster. So that's the thing about Buster Posey is, and out of that presser, is it feels like they're going to stick to a plan. If that plan is, hey, Eldridge, you're going to play from day one, don't think about Sacramento. You're not getting on Amtrak going back to Sacramento. Instead, you're going to get an Uber and go back to your condo out here in downtown San Francisco. That's what's going to happen, even if you do struggle. So these youngsters, man, in the playoffs are balling right now. Jackson Merrill, the Padres, with all that talent, with all that pressure, with all those expectations, they're going to play every single day. And it's benefited them. But he had a big hit yesterday.
So there's other guys available. Like I've done like a, you're going to call me sick. There's going to be a Japanese pitcher, Monte, that you're going to hear about.
I heard about him already.
You're ready to.
Trust me, I've been behind the scenes.
Rocky Sasaki,
looking,
and I'm telling
I've been
you,
looking at behind the scenes.
Everyone's going to be on him, and I don't know. I want to see, like I never, like we talked about this with Yamamoto.
Yeah.
I'm not giving $200-300 million sight unseen to somebody I've never seen pitch in the bigs.
I'm good off that.
But here, let me throw another name at you.
As Yamamoto, what did he do this year? He got hurt for a long, long time. And we still don't know who he quite is. We've seen this ever since Hideo Nomo. They come in, they have a great season, Spadoni, and then they fall off. Hideki Arabu with the New York Yankees just fall off. It just happens over. It's too much. Yu Darvish, as good as his stuff is, he's been inconsistent since he came to the majors.
Yeah, he's been erratic.
He's erratic as hell.
I don't think he's lived up to the potential. No. I think he's better than what he's played.
Has there been a Japanese pitcher who's lived up to the hype coming over the last 20, 25 years?
I mean, Hideo Nomo was pretty sweet.
But he kind of felt
I know, but he had his moments.
Honestly, it probably is Yu Darvish, given his longevity and how long he's been a consistent starter. Like, I know, like,
Kente
when he came
Maeda?
Out. Kenta Maeda, maybe, but even he gets shelled. Like, Darvish has been pretty consistently,
what
like,
about
a,
Ryu,
a
the
sub
lefty?
4 ERA guy.
Ryu hasn't been Hyunjin bad.
Ryu.
Yeah,
he's also Korean.
That's a bit bad.
Is he Korean?
He's
some, my bad.
He's had some years. Like, Noble's first 2 years, 2.454 ERA, did 3.19. Did he add 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 straight years of an ERA over 4.5?
Wow.
Like, he was just getting lit up.
Wow.
Now, then, 33-year-old, he comes back to the Dodgers, 3.39. 3.09, and then he basically retires, has an 8.25 ERA. But lifetime ERA for Hideo Nomo was a 4.24.
I didn't know it was that high.
Yeah, no, I remember it was erratic. Once he lost his, like, he got figured out, and it wasn't good. And then you had the health issues or whatnot. And look, these guys are good. But for the entry fee you're paying for these
guys.
That's
the thing.
And then you got to give them a bigger contract. Yeah. You might be spending $300 million on these guys for a guy who's going to play every 5 days.
Well, let me throw another right-handed like first baseman at you. And there's another guy that from the outfield whose season ended yesterday I want to throw at you. What about Christian Walker on a short-term deal? 2-3 year deal as a first base DH type. He's been in Arizona. I think he's 33 or 34. Maybe he's 34. He's a solid player. I thought he should have been an all-star this year.
He's not bad.
I mean, I'm just throwing names. See, to me, I need someone to pair up. I want the righty-lefty combo with Eldridge, and I want to be able to carve out DH spots. Like, you need a legit thumper. You know, Bregman's going to be available. We don't need a third baseman.
Yeah,
I don't need Bregman. What about Santander, the outfielder for Baltimore?
Santander. He's a baller. But he would be bad. He's not going to hit for a lot of average. How old is Santander?
I'm looking at it right here. It's 29 years old.
See, because I want to go on a younger side. I don't want to mess with anybody who's 30 plus.
It's hard.
You know what I'm saying? Agency. I know it's hard. 30 years old, I'll do that.
I know.
The Goldsmith one, I would have been on board with Goldsmith, but he's 37. I watched some Goldsmith at bats. I'm like, dude, he's just ain't the same.
He was cooked the first few months. He was really bad. I mean,
it's
Shout fantasy. Again, but I'm just thinking how Posey would think, and I know him. Like, there is value in bringing in an older guy like that to this situation for a variety of reasons. So you got a free agent who I think the Giants have circled as one of their shortstop. Ha-Sung Kim, who's playing in San Diego right now. You're going to watch him throughout the playoffs. The other guy's Willy Adames for the Brewers. I think he's a free agent, and that's another shortstop who had a monster year this year who could be available. I'm not giving any of these guys 7-8 year deals.
No,
but
I wouldn't either.
Could these be, you know, stop gaps at shortstop up the middle? Corbin Burns, whose season ended yesterday, is going to be a free agent.
Well, that
I know you love Corbin Burns. He's a lot of innings. I love him. I think he'd be great in our rotation.
I've loved Corbin Burns for a long time. So if Blake Snell doesn't want to start. If he doesn't want to stay here, then I go Corbin Burns. Now, to your point about the veteran with the lineup, that's why I paid Matt Chapman.
Okay.
I'm bestowing Matt Chapman as our leader, as our veteran, as the guy who's going to set the example every single day, every single night. This is how you field grounders. This is how you prep. This is how you prepare for a game. This is how you go about your day-to-day, everyday life in Major League Baseball. That's why I gave Matt Chapman a 6-year deal. So I gave him that.
I'm going to throw one more name at you. You know who else is a free agent?
Joey Gallo.
He had a monster year this year. Chuck Peterson.
Hard
pass.
Back.
And we got a Pasoy problem in the clubhouse.
Okay. He's
a Posey guy.
Come on. Max Scherzer's out there. Verlander's out there. I mean, you got a bunch of the old guard pitchers. Clayton Kershaw, I believe, is going to be a free agent as well. I don't know what they're going to do with Robbie Ray. I'm just watching these playoffs, and I'm saying, hey, look, there are two shortstops that I think the Giants are going to be looking at. The Kim for San Diego and the shortstop for the Brewers. So if you're watching baseball right now, those are the guys that I believe that the Giants are at least going to inquire on.
You know, circling back to Pete Alonso, 30 years old. What if you get a 6 or 7 year deal and there's some opt outs somewhere in the middle of that deal?
I mean, I'm in on that. It's just
I'm looking at it like this too. Greg Johnson is going to be knocking on the door, and Larry Barrow's going to be knocking on the door. Bryce Eldridge is going to, he's going to create a buzz here and there. Yeah.
He will be your first base. I'm calling it now. Okay. Opening day, he's going to be on this roster.
And I'm okay with that. He should be. He should be. I don't think that's a debate. But you bring in Pete Alonso, and now you got Eldridge, Alonso, and Chapman.
I'm cooking.
Then I've got Ramos.
Yeah.
I've got Fitzgerald. We'll see about Jung-Hoo Lee. What's he doing? What's going on with him?
Big question mark.
Big question mark. But
do
I have
keep him? Do they trade him? I have no idea.
I have him. I'm not mad at the like. I would go online on a guy
It's funny because you're kind of buying me on it.
He plays his ass off, Pete Alonso. I know what he is. Yeah. He's going to strike out a ton. He's going to drive us crazy.
But he's got a specific cast. His type is I am going to be a thumper in the middle of the line. Right. I get your point.
You know what I'm saying? And he's a threat. A pitcher's going to look in the on deck circle saying, "Boy, if I don't get this guy out, I got to face Pete with guys on base." And he's going to prepare. From what I've heard, the guy works his ass off.
Well, in a lineup, when you have Chapman behind a guy like Alonso, boy, that's a lot better.
Right.
No, that's a good point.
And this organization.
You're selling me on it. I was worried about that 10-year deal.
Yeah, but you know what, though? This organization was about to give Aaron Judge a monster deal. Well, you're going to give Bryce Harper, right?
Yeah, but Aaron, Aaron Judge is a few clicks above.
There's levels, but Carlos Correa.
He's going to
get 13 years.
Yeah, they're
we were desperate.
I know.
I think we're still a little desperate, to be honest with you. Just because we have Posey doesn't mean we're not desperate.
Well, and you could sell Alonso as a character moving forward. The polar bear, I'm already seeing the marketing.
Larry Bear, the hats are there.
Yeah, and just the home run thing and him in the home run derby every year. The more and more you talk me into it, I'm being swayed.
You know, Kim, Adames.
I mean, those guys aren't going to sell tickets.
Yeah, that's good.
But those are guys that catch the ball.
Exactly.
So that's why I like them.
What about Tim Anderson? You guys want him?
Tim Anderson is a fringe baseball player in the bigs.
They're fighting!
I mean, they played freaking Nick Ahmed at shortstop this year. It was basically like playing Tim Anderson.
Yeah, it was.
Ramirez ended his career. after that uppercut.
He did.
Jose Ramirez him out of the league.
Plus him out of the league. Yeah, that was not a good look for Tim Anderson.
Who was the guy in Toronto?
He set the brothers back a couple years.
Joey Bats and Rougned Odor.
Thank you.
Yeah. There you go. Rangers, Blue Jays.
What are you going to mess with Odor? He was looking to fight. All right. Shout out to our friends at Floyd Water Plumbing. Jared, if you're going to call it to the roast, you better bring it before he got knocked out by
Albert Bell.
You better bring it because if you don't, you'll be flushed. Brought to you by Floyd Water Plumbing and Jared. It's the only reason why we knew Fernando Vina because Albert Bell. Bow! What's coming up on the game? Brought to you by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full service banking with no compromises. Who is on your wish list right now, Giants fans, in free agency? We're going to shift over to football. We got some sound about Brock Purdy because I'm starting to think, Shasky, what's Steph Curry? And Steph Curry's got a while to go. He's got a few years. But is Brock Purdy the next superstar here in the Bay Area? Or is he already there?
Huh.
Is he already there? We'll get into that coming up. 888-957-9570 is the number. Again, that's coming up. Brought to you by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking. No compromises.
This is Oreo Cookie from Oakland, California. And it's plain to see, you can't change me because I'm going to be a roaster for life.
Hey, Seth was like, what is this?
Sound like Guru. Hey!
That was Wiz Khalifa.
All right, all guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands in Lathrop? Your boy Q's going to join us from Radio Nation Radio at 6:50 to talk about Davante Adams and whether or not the Niners have a shot at him. Now, I don't know if the Niners need Davante Adams, but I want to know what the market is for Davante Adams and his Philly. And, you know, you see it a lot of Raider fans, Shasky, they're just torching Davante Adams. Poor guys.
Davante wanted to go there. And then Davante wanted that coach. So I don't know. I understand being frustrated.
Yeah. Well,
the existence of wide receivers in Oakland forever, or I guess with the Raiders fans. You got Antonio Brown. You got Randy Moss. You got, Joey Porter even before Jerry Porter before
Javon Walker.
Oh my gosh. That's a name.
Javon Walker, Las Vegas.
Ronald Curry. When you say Javon Walker, I say Ronald Curry.
Denarius Moore, Tennessee legend.
Oh, dude, he was nice.
I thought Denarius Moore was going to be so sick.
Ronald Curry was like a two-sport high school phenom.
Yeah.
Phenom. He was like Drew Hinton when he went to Michigan. Drew Hinton, for folks out there, was this guy, was a three-sport star, baseball, football, basketball, goes to Michigan, and he can't even beat out Tom Brady for the quarterback job, and they're going yo-yoing the quarterbacks in Michigan. But Drew Hinton, when I think about Ronald Curry, I think about Drew Hinton as these high school phenoms who are always on the covers of these student magazines in high school. So anyway.
Well, if you're going to use those, the three that I think are the most, well, obviously Bo Jackson's in his own academy.
Yeah,
well,
that's going way back. Yeah, but no doubt.
Like, it's Danny Ainge, Dave Winfield.
Yeah, no doubt.
And John Elway.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. No doubt. I'm just going modern day.
The latest, by the way, as we're talking to Davante Adams, the latest from Schefter is that the Raiders would consider a second round pick and, quote, additional compensation.
That means please give us a second round pick.
It's a second round pick and maybe a player or something.
Third round pick, Brandon Ayuk.
Sure.
Look, Davante, he did go there too because of Derek Carr. They moved up for Derek Carr right away. Right away. That was his boy. Whether or not we like Derek Carr or not, that's his boy.
And he was first team all pro with Derek.
Right. He was. No doubt about that. All right, let's go to, as we're getting to Brock, because we're going to play some sound for Brock and or about Brock. Because I was just thinking about this. Like, we're looking for the next Bay Area superstar. We're not hard on Brock. Mac Lucelebrini is probably on the short list of guys who we think could be a superstar in this market. Who's on the Giants right now? Bryce Eldridge? That's maybe the next best prospect for being a superstar in this market. Chicks love the long balls. I love the long balls. I love power. But then on the 49ers, you look. And there's Brock Purdy. And what's not to like about the guy? He's an easy guy to root for. And he has that it factor, Shasky.
Is there not a superstar already on the Niners? I'm just asking, like, because everyone has a different algorithm as to what equates a star.
I mean, Nick Bosa is a star, right?
Yeah. Debo.
Debo.
CMC.
But Brock he's the quarterback of the team.
Yeah, no doubt. Was Jimmy a star?
He was a rock star.
Okay, so that's a completely different category.
Completely different category.
Okay.
This guy, Brock, could be a rock star and a superstar, but...
I think he already is one.
He might be. He might be.
I mean, when I go to the games, I see a lot of 13 jerseys.
A lot of 13s. Let's go to Lucky in the City. Lucky, what's happening?
Hey, good morning, boss. Hey, good morning, Joe. How you guys doing?
What up, Lucky?
Doing great.
All right, man. Well, you know, I love our boy Brock, man. And I want to put the superstar label on him, but I'm going to give him like a Mr. Fields cookie. I'm going to give him a semi-superstar until he wins the big one. But I'm with him.
What is it about him? What is it about him that people love? Lucky. Sorry to cut you off. Keep going, Lucky. I'm sorry. I thought you were done.
No, I just feel like he's proved himself, man, ever since he stepped on the field for our team, man. And I know the national media is not really giving him his props right now or, you know, putting him on the level as the other guys. But I still think he's a top five quarterback, man, right now.
What makes him so relatable?
And I feel once he wins that bowl, that's going to solidify him. And then if he gets another one after that, oh, my God.
Yeah, Lucky, what is it about him that makes him easy to root for? Like, he seems so easy to root for.
He seems humble to me. He seems like a young man that's willing to learn. And if he has a bad game, he doesn't take it literally. He'll take it as okay, you hit your elbow on something and it hurts. But, you know, you shake it off, man, and put something on it and you keep going. Because you have to, and that's your job. So I think when it comes to him doing his job, it reminds me so much of Joe Montana. I don't want to put that on him, but it reminds me of Joe because I watched Joe play. I watched Steve Young play. So he has a mix of both. And if he learns from both, oh, my God, man, Brock's going to be the man. Let's go, man.
Let's go, Lucky. Let's go.
I think origin story is a thing that we do in the movies, right? Or the comic books or video games. And I think about all the origin stories. They're going to do a new Superman, right? For example, and they're going to try to stay away from the origin story part of it and try to go straight to like the middle part of his Supermaning career, right? Think about the Wolverine. They had the origin story at the beginning and, you know, Iron Man, the very first Iron Man, they kind of explain like, how did you become Iron Man or Spider-Man? How did you become Spider-Man? And the origin story is extremely important.
It is.
It shapes who you are. And who doesn't love someone who was overlooked? Who doesn't love someone who is not necessarily have the physique of an NFL body that we like associate with the position? When you meet, like, I haven't met him face to face, but I saw him on a basketball court walking by me. Carson Palmer was larger than life. I was like, there's no way that guy's only 6'5". There's just no way. His head is humongous.
Yeah, it is.
I couldn't get over how big Carson Palmer was. I was like, that man is gigantic, right? And when you see Brock Purdy, and I've had an opportunity to shake hands with Brock Purdy, I stood up to him and I was like, he's not that big. Now his legs are thick and he's strong and all that. I'm not trying to, but he's not that tall. And so his whole physique isn't that demonstrative that you're accustomed to with those guys. And then being an aw shucks guy from the Midwest, even though we know he's from Arizona, like the Iowa State origin and coming out of nowhere, there's a relatability to him. And I know we've done this with like Curry. And I've always pushed back. Like, people are like, well, Curry came out of nowhere. I was like, wait, hold up. He was like the 6th or 7th pick in the draft. Yes. Very few times does one of the best players of all time come outside the top 3 in the NBA. Like, I get that. That's what makes Jokic so special, is a 2nd round pick, right? But like, he still was like the 6th or 7th
player. I think is with Curry, though, is that he had one scholarship offer, basically. He didn't even get a scholarship offer from his dad's alma mater, Virginia Tech.
Sure.
And so it was like the skinny, scrawny kid. It was like, okay, he's at Davidson. He's shooting threes. How's this going to translate? He becomes the 7th overall pick, but we still didn't know if it was a gimmick or not.
Brock was the last guy taken in a 7-round draft.
Trust me.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm not trying to compare and contrast.
No, it is. But
I'm just saying, like, his story is even more remarkable.
I don't think people say, like, we were aware of Curry at Davidson, but to get to Davidson, he fell to Davidson because nobody wanted him.
Oh, for sure.
You know, in basketball, it's like, wow, nobody wanted him. He's at Davidson. How many times do you know, small college guys come out of nowhere in basketball, you know, a small college player that becomes a star in the NBA. But when you think about Brock Purdy, I was talking to Willard about this yesterday after the town hall meeting. I was like, how did he fall to the last pick of the draft? He goes, dude, Iowa State, man. And we started talking about the Iowa game, the one I bet on when I was like, oh, this guy, please. But so that's why when Brock Purdy signed with the 49ers, and everybody started telling us, oh, Brock Purdy might be good. I was like, what? The guy who got benched in an Iowa game when College Game Day was there and he threw four picks? What's going on here? But the origin of the story, and then replacing Jimmy.
Yes.
When Jimmy was probably playing his best football with the 49ers. And he replaced Jimmy. They win that game against Mike McDaniel and the Dolphins. But then he plays against Brady the next week. His first ever start comes against Tom Brady. And the first play of the game, he gets cracked. Cracked. They're like, oh, this guy ain't going to be able to hold up. Now, that hit messed his ribs up, and he had to play with some messed up ribs the rest of the season, which we all didn't know about. But he leads the Niners on a touchdown drive, and the rest is history. They're chitting Purdy. They dropped 35 on Brady. They're up 35-7 at the half. I mean, it was unbelievable. So, yes, being the last pick of the draft, that's never lost on me. Like, I don't want to ever forget that. This guy was the last pick of the NFL draft. We've been watching drafts our whole life, Shasky. Mr. Irrelevant? Doesn't even make it out of training camp.
I mean, how many seventh-round picks? Picks for the Niners stuck around for 5 years.
It's unreal.
Juwan Jennings is one of the few.
One of the few.
There's not a lot. And so, no, to your point, it's well taken. But, like, I keep coming back to, you know, where he was drafted, where he came, and then just how his demeanor is. The other part that you just can't, like, forget is they traded heaven and earth to get Trey Lance, who was...
Yeah.
Supposed to be the next coming of God.
What a trading heaven and earth. Listen to Mike Silver on with the Barstool guys here. Mike Silver met with Shannon. Listen to this story. He's on with the Barstool guys before we get to your boy Q.
There is something at 49er headquarters referred to as the Shanahan, which basically means Mike Shanahan needs to watch meetings and practice ASAP virtually.
That's awesome.
Some people think he's the shadow GM. I spent a bunch of time with him in May and June of 2022. And so in those conversations, I would ask about Trey Lance, of course, and Jimmy, and he kept talking about Brock Purdy because he'd seen some minicamp tape. And I was like, God, he's kind of weirdly into Brock Purdy, but, you know, whatever. He's the 262nd pick. Now they open against the Bears. It's Trey Lance's first game as the unquestioned starter. The day before, I go to Mike Shanahan's room, and I'm sitting up there, and I'm asking him about Trey Lance, and he again brings up Purdy, and he says, when you have a guy like that in your building, you don't let him out. And I'm like, are we talking about, you know, thinking?
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, so he's still got it.
That's Mike Silver. I'm parting my take with the Barstool guys. And then we have the Romo cut, which we had last year. I'm going to break, Lovin. I'm going to break. I see the clock. I'm going to break. Let me get this out. But we had Romo on last year before the Philadelphia game. And what did Romo tell us, Shasky? This Mike Shanahan said it early. Hey, you be ready. You be ready. And it's like, what? What? Because in training camp, I didn't hear anything. I'm following you guys left and right in Europe about training camp. Nobody brought this guy up. And Mike Shanahan is sitting there, Shasky, twiddling his thumbs, saying, this Brock kid, watch him.
Who was the guy from the Eagles that they brought in to be the QB3 and they gave him guaranteed money?
Nate Sudfeld.
Sudfeld. They had Sudfeld getting two or three times the reps that Purdy was getting. Yeah, no one saw it coming.
Nobody saw it coming. All right. Your boy Q is going to join us here. We're going to break. Your boy Q, Raider Nation Radio. He's been really good to us there. 9:20 a.m. in Las Vegas, 2 to 5. Lockdown Raiders podcast. What the hell is going on with the Las Vegas Raiders? Do the Niners have a shot at Devontae Adams? You don't want to miss what Q will have to say about that. That's coming up, brought to you by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. Love it starting to piss me off. Spinoni's miserable.
All right. Hey, check this out. This is San Leandro Mo, and you're listening to 95.7 The Game, The Morning Roast with Bonte and Shasta.
Why is Spadoni miserable?
He's not miserable today. He's just playing my boy Big X the Plug. Big X the Plug. What's up, baby?
There's a lot of answers to that question.
I mean, there is something that at some point I want to get into regarding LeBron.
Or big ass, oh, how you want LeBron still with the Warriors?
No, well, that it will always
how LeBron
be the
is
case,
your favorite
LeBron
player.
And the, it's just
how you want Brody or LeBron in the package deal.
It's just so funny how much he lies directly to everyone's face.
Oh, stop. Stop. Don't. Now I'm going to become miserable if you go down this road. I'm going to become miserable. I'm going to become miserable. You're not allowed to do that. LeBron talk, no. No.
At 5 years old, I knew he was a phenom. He couldn't get off the bench for a crappy USC team. What are you talking about, dude?
Oh, man. Here you go.
I'm not going to sugarcoat.
If I had a nickel for every time I heard from a parent, wait till you see this 6'7".
You wanted him.
I wanted LeBron.
This is what was going to come with the territory.
I know. But it doesn't mean he doesn't need to get checked out for his tall tales.
Oh, stop. He's doing this for years. For years from hell with Fedonia and the Lakers. Seriously.
It is fun to have the NBA back in our lives.
It is. Anthony Davis played. We got a soundbite from Davis in the thread about the analytics.
I found the audio wasn't the greatest because I guess LeBron's DJ there now. Just the music was way too loud in the background. I swear to God.
The DJ that I was telling you about?
Correct. The music was too loud. I couldn't hear what AD was saying because his voice is so deep.
Oh, boy.
So it doesn't translate well on the radio, but maybe we could talk about it later.
I hope his eardrums don't get hurt from the DJing because, you know, AD made of glass.
I'll take
those
AD.
Ear infections are no joke.
Hey, I'll tell you, it is no joke, dude. Nah, the sound thing is real, man. Sound thing is real. All right, let's go down to Las Vegas. The Sin City, they still call it? I never said the Sin City, but anyway, let's go down to Las Vegas. Raider Nation Radio, 9:20 a.m. in Las Vegas, 2 to 5 at Lockdown Raiders Podcast. It's our boy Q. It's your boy Q, and he's been doing it big down here in Las Vegas. He owns the Raider Nation and everything going on with it. What's up, Q?
Man, what's happening? How you guys doing today?
Oh, man, we're chilling, man, as we got our boy Q here on the River Islands guest line. All guests on 95.7. Game up here on the River Islands guest line. It is time for you to discover the islands, River Islands, in Lathrop. Never a dull day in Raider Nation land, right? Never a dull day with the Raider Nation. And I'm sure you've had a lot to talk about. And all of a sudden, who could have saw this coming? Davante Adams wants out. Antonio Pierce is liking tweets. He's talking about people making business decisions. All right, let's start with Davante. Are you shocked this come to this with Davante Adams, number 17, that he wants out?
I'm shocked that it came right now. I'm not shocked at all that he wants out, right? I'm just shocked that it came off of a win. I'm just shocked at the fact that the Raiders are actually in the thick of things where they're 2-2 after the first quarter of the season, which if you had asked anybody in Raider Nation what they wanted the record to be after four games and you told them it was going to be 2-2, they would have accepted that, especially with two wins in the AFC conference. Like, that's not a bad thing. And then going up against a team in Denver that you've won 8 straight games against. So I'm actually surprised that it's happening right now. I thought it'd be closer to the trade deadline if the Raiders were not in the thick of things. If they were, you know, in a situation where you look up and you say, okay, they're not going to do it. How can this team get better? So, okay, let's flip this guy to wherever and get some draft capital and start looking at and focusing in on who's going to be available, especially at the signal caller position in April's draft. So that's the only thing that kind of surprised me, is that it comes right now. But, you know, apparently, you know, the sooner the better when it comes to Davante and him getting up out of here.
So I thought he was all in on smoking cigars with Antonio Pierce. I mean, I'm just going off the Netflix wide receiver doc. Like, I thought they were buds. I thought he vouched for the coach, and now he wants out? I mean, because I want the Niners to get him. Should I worry about him, you know, not getting his wish of going to his specific location if the Niners do trade for him?
You know, I think that would actually, it's funny, we actually talked about, you know, the Niners and the Raiders swapping wide receivers back when Brandon Ayuk was still holding out and wanted his contract extension. And I, for one, said, hey, I think that'd be a great move, right? The 49ers could get a great wide receiver right now, and make no mistake about it, he's still a great wide receiver. And the Raiders could get a younger dude that has a history with Antonio Pierce, and everything could be good. The Raiders had the money to pay him. That didn't work out that way. But I could still see a situation where he ends up in San Francisco, especially since he's a Bay Area dude, and coming to the West Coast was a big deal for him. He wanted to be on the West Coast so his family could come see him play. So I would not rule San Francisco out, even though I know they're not on the wish list of Davante. But I don't think that the wish list of Davante should matter for the Raiders. They need to do what's best for them. If they're going to move him, they need to get what they can. They're not going to get what they gave up. They gave a first and a second for him. They're not going to get that in return. You know, once you drive a car off the lot, the value goes down. So you're not going to get that in return, but get the most you can. Make that team better based off Davante Adams. But, you know, the other thing about this is, to your point of if he's not going to be happy, he's a guy that's, you know, he's a wide receiver. You know, he's a guy that's temperamental. He's a guy that wants things to go his way. He wants to win games, as everybody does. But he, you know, he's also a guy that you can see kind of bad body language at times. You can see he's a little moody at times. And, you know, and I know the greats get that way. So you just kind of let it be what it is. But, you know, he did vouch for AP. He did pound the table for him to get, you know, the head coaching job. But it just seems like little things here, little things there are piled up to they don't really see eye to eye as far as what Devontae should be doing as a leader. Look, he's not even a captain on the team. Like, think about that. Devontae Adams is not one of the captains.
Wow.
You know what I mean? So that kind of tells you what you need to know.
Wow, I didn't even know that. Wow, yep. That's crazy. So maybe that's where the friction started. And AP sounds like he's not playing here. Well, what's your assessment of AP through the first month of the season? Because he said a lot at the podium. The tweet on Instagram that he didn't like, and he did not go down that road yesterday at the press conference, so I watched the entire thing. But what's your assessment of AP so far during his first month on the job?
I think he's still learning. I think it's still a work in progress, right? I mean, it's so funny. A lot of people are saying, is he just the same, you know, a next coming of Mike Singletary? And you guys know all how well that shook out. I don't think he's that guy. I think he's still learning on the job, though, right? I think he's still trying to, you know, differentiate or whatever that word is. He's trying to figure out what's the, you know, difference between being a football player and a football head coach, right? I mean, he said the business decision comment right after the game against Carolina. Then he came back later and apologized for it, said he should have said that in the locker room. I didn't have any problem with it. I think it held his players accountable, but apparently that's frowned upon. So, okay, so that's that. Then the whole, you know, like you said, the social media post thing, that's, you know, a little silly or whatever. You know, that's not the reason why they're in the situation that they're in. But it's just kind of like a little things here and there. I think that he's still learning, you know, the nuances of being a head coach and how to do this. The one thing I can tell you is he knows how to get those guys in the locker room fired up. That's what I do know, right? I know he gets them fired up, gets them motivated to go out there and play. They won last week without Devontae and without Max Crosby. So that kind of tells you all that you need to know is that these guys are willing to play for him. They love him as a head coach. He's a little, you know, in your face sometimes. He's a little, as a matter of fact, sometimes, just like he was when he was a player. So I think that this is just kind of part of the growing pains.
Look, let me just, Q, I'm going to tell you what all Niner fans are saying as you're saying all that. Mike Singletary 2.0. I mean, it's what I think of. Niners hired Mike Singletary to replace Mike Nolan. The players loved him. They started off 3-1 his first full season, and then it just was like a big losing streak. They couldn't get the offense right. They finished the season 8-8, and then the ship just went completely under afterwards. Like, it's a hard time for me not to see Mike Singletary 2.0 when I'm watching him from afar.
No, I mean, and that's very valid, right? That's very valid. Every point that you make sounds similar to what we're seeing right here. I like AP as a head coach. I really do. I think he's, as a matter of fact, and straight to the point, I don't think he really pulls any punches or, you know, cuts any corners. He lets you know what he thinks. But we'll see, because it's all about what? Production. You got to win games. And the offense has got to get figured out. Obviously, he's a defensive-minded coach, but they got to get things figured out. They're 2-2. It's early in the season.
Q, would the Raiders trade with the 49ers in general? Because there used to be this, you know, they're in the same market. And I think for a long time, Bonte's referenced like the Khalil Mack trade. Like, they were just never going to deal with the Niners for a variety of reasons. Is that away? Is that gone away? Would they do the deal with the 49ers if they gave up Brandon Ayuk and, let's say, a third or a fourth round pick?
I think so. If it makes sense, yeah. You know, why not? I don't think that they should be blinded by, well, they're the 49ers. Who cares, right? They're not in your division. Now, I wouldn't say that for the Chiefs. I'd be like, nah, stay away from that. Mm. But, you know, if it's the 49ers, go for it, right? I mean, you talk about the market. Hell, they ain't in the same market no more. So, why? You know, what's the big deal? They play a preseason game. So, it's cool. I look, if the deal's a good deal, I say do it, because the only thing you have to do is improve your team.
Where's Mark Davis in this, Q?
Well, it's funny. I asked AP, I said, when a player comes and asks, you know, for a trade, is that a conversation between you and him, the GM, what? Yeah. And he said, it's everybody. It's him, the GM, and Mark Davis. So they all have to sign off on these kind of situations. So he tries not to get involved. He's not a football guy. He said it. He tries to let the football guys do football stuff, but he's got to sign off on everything, as we all know.
Is there any remorse? I don't know if the Raiders were in on the Harbaugh deal or whatnot. Obviously, he goes to the L.A. Chargers. But I like AP, too, and I'm rooting for AP. But I keep mentioning this. Spadoni is our resident Raider fan. Hey, man, did you guys miss the boat on not hiring Jim Harbaugh? Because I always felt like that could have been the guy. Now, AP, we'll see about him. We'll see. It's very it's very early in the process of the Antonio Pierce era. But was there any rumors or anything about any smoke on the Jim Harbaugh to the Raiders deal coming out of Michigan?
Yeah, there's no doubt. There's no doubt. And a lot of Raider fans were upset. They said, man, I wish AP wasn't successful as the interim, because if he wasn't, then it would have been no question. They would have gone full throttle after Jim Harbaugh, and they probably would have got him. Only because he started his coaching career in the NFL with the Raiders, right? Mm-hmm. He's got that history. I think that they probably would have landed him, but because of the noise that AP made and what he was able to do as the interim coach, it was, all right, well, you kind of got to go with him. And I've always been, don't hire the interim. But even I was like, yeah, I think that you should go with AP. I just think that he's the right guy. He brought the Raider, you know, mentality back to the team, something they were missing after the Patriot way went wrong. So, I think they were stuck in a tough situation, and we'll see how it plays out. But that very easily could end up going back to, you know, a few years from now, I'd be like, man, they sure missed out, especially depending on how the Chargers do with Harbaugh.
Does Davante Adams play another game for the Las Vegas Raiders, Q?
I don't think so. I think that that's a done deal. He's out this week for sure with the hamstring, and apparently he's already out a couple weeks with the hamstring, and supposedly that's a real thing. So, yeah, I don't think that I think it's a done deal.
Where does he go?
Great question. There's been rumors that the Jets would make sense, especially if they can get Hassan Reddick back and maybe a draft pick as well. So you help the team now and the future, I'd be fine with that. I just say you trade him to wherever you could benefit the team the most. What helps the Raiders be better, right? I mean, because he's still a really good player. Like, that's the thing about it. You know, sometimes these stars aren't stars anymore. Davante is. He's still a star. He's still a really good player. So you got to get the most out of him as you can.
Your boy Q. Q254 on Twitter, Raider Nation Radio, 920 a.m. in Las Vegas, 2 to 5 p.m., Locked On Raiders podcast. He's always good to us. He's doing his thing down there in Vegas. Q, have a good one, man. Good luck against the Broncos.
Hey, man, appreciate y'all, man. Keep doing your thing.
Absolutely. Q here on the Morning Rush on 95.7 The Game, courtesy of the River Islands Guest Line. All guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands Guest Line. Is it a time for you to discover the islands, River Islands, and Lathrop? I need to get back out there, man.